Well, good evening. It is good to be back. I hope all of you had a good afternoon. Well, I certainly did. I want to welcome everyone here. And especially if we have any visitors, I don't know for sure, but I don't think we do. But if we do, I don't want to overlook anybody. I want everybody to know that you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. And brethren and friends, we all know that heaven is a place of rest. This life is not a time for rest. We must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. I know that if we're faithful in our service to the Lord, we're going to get tired occasionally, brethren. But we cannot quit. We can't quit. The question before us this evening is, when we feel like giving up and giving in, or why it matters, or why do people give up? Well, let's search the Scriptures and find the answer to these questions. So please open your Bibles, if you would, and follow along with me. As always, I don't want you to ever take my word. I don't want you to take any man's word. Only the Word of God, of course, is the Bible. If you would, let's start by turning our Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, in today's times, many efforts have been started and then abandoned. Churches have initiated efforts to save the lost, but they stopped. People have given up on themselves. Students have given up on their education. Husbands have given up on their marriages. Children of God have given up on doing the will of God. Children of God have given up on faith. So why do people give up? Elijah, if you may remember, was tempted to give up in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Paul, too, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, and let's read that together. Paul says, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Now, between writing of the first epistle and this epistle, Paul had undergone a terrible onslaught, you may remember, made on him at Ephesus by the devotees of the goddess of Diana, who was led by Demetrius the silversmith. And Paul saw no way of escape from death, so in his own mind he was doomed to death. The danger was so great that he despaired of life. As he said, he even despaired of life. Turn now to Galatians chapter 6 with me. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 9, Paul wrote, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So what does it mean to be weary in well-doing? When tested by temptation and when buffeted by the storms of life, we may at times feel like giving up and giving in. We may wonder, why does it matter? Why does it matter if I give up? Or why does it matter whether I give up or not? Or why does it matter if I keep trying to live a Christian life? What does it matter? Have you ever been there? The question may come to us when we're facing some specific temptation or decision, maybe about lying, about cursing, or maybe it's about profanity, or maybe it's about stealing or gambling, or dancing, or immodest dress, or it may be about pornography, or fornication, or adultery, or drugs, or drinking, or any of those things. It may be a decision about spiritual priorities involving school activities, demands on the job, sports, hobbies, entertainment programs, and so on. Perhaps we have just become discouraged under the weight of the consequences of our past sins, or maybe even poor judgments that we made, or matters beyond our control, such as accidents and diseases and growing older and the death of loved ones. Just the grinding pressures of the daily duties of life may press upon us, such as shift work. I know I used to work shift work. The never-ending cycle of the household chores, or just trying to juggle the various demands of family life. Gospel preachers and elders and other saints grow weary at times under the strain of so many battles which must be fought in order to uphold the truth and to counter the subtle attacks and the counterattacks of Satan. We may be tempted to retire from the battle, or at least relent in our efforts in the hope of relief from the strain. But brethren, Satan is always testing and he's always probing, trying to wear us down and wear us out. Look at 1 Peter with me, chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, God warns us, in verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." He says, be sober and be vigilant, because the adversary, he's walking around, he's looking for us, he's tempting us. And we're vulnerable to sin, brethren. We're vulnerable to Satan's attacks. And when we get tired and weary, when we begin to wonder, is it worth the fight? Does anyone ever notice or care, maybe, when I try too hard to serve God or to live right and help others? Does anybody ever notice? Does anybody really care? Have you ever thought that? Is anyone listening when I speak up and speak out for the truth of righteousness? Do I really want to press on? Does it matter when I give up and when I give in? Does it matter? And we're all reminded at times why it matters that we don't give up, why it matters that we keep on keeping on. First of all, it matters because God loves us. Because of God's love, it matters. It matters because God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son for our sins, that we can have that hope of eternal life in heaven with Him. Please turn with me to 1 John now. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. John says, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." We were unworthy of God's love because we sinned and rebelled against God. God's love did not fail us when we were helpless and when we were hopeless, when we were doomed to hell by our own choice and our own sins. He still loved us. Turn with me to Romans, the 5th chapter, if you would. And I want to read verses 6 through 8, one of my very, very favorite passages in the New Testament. Romans 5, chapter verses 6 through 8. And I want us to think about these words when we read them together. Paul wrote to the Romans in verse 6, he said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and me, brethren. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners," again, that's you and me, brethren, "Christ died for us." Think about those words. Think about those words. And we need to go to God in prayer and thank Him for giving His Son to us. We must not betray the love of God by turning back to our sins. We must not. We must not do that. And it matters that we don't give up because of Christ's sacrifice. It matters because Jesus Christ was willing to give up the beauties and give up the glories and the grandeur of heaven to come to this old earth as a man so that he could suffer and die for our sins. Just think what he did. Do we really think about that? Have you thought about what he did? Have you thought about what he gave up? He loves us and he wants to save us so much that he was willing to die as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Do we really appreciate what our Lord did for us? Do we really appreciate? I don't know as human beings, sometimes I don't know if we really forget in a very selfish way maybe what and not appreciate what he did for us. Would you do that for him? Knowing that Christ endured hardship and made difficult sacrifices for our salvation, we can learn and suffer trials and temptations and be faithful to him. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 23, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Self-denial rather than self-indulgence is necessary for our salvation. The temptation to give up and to give in is the encroachment of self-pity and self-indulgence, and such impulses destroy rather than build godly character. Now another reason that it matters that we don't give up is because of our commitment to the Lord. It matters because we have made a commitment to love and to obey the Lord with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. We do not want to do those things which would destroy that commitment, but we want to do things that will renew it and strengthen it. So let's go back to Romans, this time chapter 6. Paul said in verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now in becoming Christians, we committed ourselves to walk a new life and not to return to the old way of sin and the old way of disobedience and rebellion against God. Ask yourself, am I doing this? Have I given up the old ways? Do you remember making that commitment when you rose from that watery grave of baptism? Do you remember making the commitment that you made? Do you remember, have you kept that commitment? If not, tonight is a good time to recommit yourself to God. Staying in Romans, let's turn to chapter 12. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Brethren, there is no higher commitment. There is no higher commitment that we make in life than to serve the Lord. To break this holy and sacred vow is to violate and nullify every trace of honesty and honor and integrity in our soul. Another reason it matters that we don't give up is because of heaven and hell. It matters because we want to spend eternity in heaven with God where there is no more sin, there's no more guilt, there's no more sorrow, there's no more sickness, there's no more darkness, there's no more depression, there's no more death. It matters because we don't want to spend eternity in hell with Satan, where there's constant torment, constant guilt and disappointment and darkness, pitch black darkness, depression, anguish, and regret. It's too late though. And regret and pain and punishment. There's no hope. There's no hope of ever leaving. But on that judgment day, we want to hear our Lord say, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And we don't want to hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And we certainly don't want to hear, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." In spite of every trial or every test, we must press on in serving the Lord in view of the judgment day. And brethren, it matters that we don't give up because we will take others with us. Think about that. It matters because if we're saved, we'll take others with us to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? But if we're lost, we'll take others with us to hell. Have you ever thought about that? When we serve God, our light shines in the dark world in such a way as to encourage other Christians to keep on serving God and to help those who are lost to find their way to God. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 with me, please. Philippians chapter 2. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. He said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." Listen now, he says, "among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding for the word of life." When we sin, brethren, when we live in sin, we become a stumbling block or an offense to others, thus causing them to be lost, and thus bringing upon ourselves the great wrath of God. Let's read together what our Lord said about this in Matthew the 18th chapter. Matthew the 18th chapter. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18 verse 6, "But whoso shall offend or be a stumbling block, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Just as someone was concerned about our soul and taught us the truth, others depend on the light of our teaching, our example, and our influence so that they can be saved. Often we don't realize whom we may be helping when we do what is right and when we live for the Lord. Sometimes we don't realize the ones that we're helping. There are some people in the world who know no other true Christians but each one of us. Think about that. There are people in this whole world that the only Christians they know are us. So we have to teach them the way. They know nobody else. Yes, brethren. Each individual light matters very, very much. Only God can measure the impact for the good that we have already had and the impact that we can have in the future if we continue to serve the Lord. It also matters that we don't give up because of the love Christians share. It does matter because of the love that we all share for each other as Christians. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter, if you would. And we're going to go to several passages in 1 Peter. First of all, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 22. Peter wrote, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now turn over to chapter 2 and verse 17. Peter says, "Love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood." Now chapter 3 and verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful or compassionate. Be courteous. Look at chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. There's a special love shared by all of us who love the Lord because we share a common faith. We share common trials and tribulations, and we share common goals of helping each other reach heaven. We share that love by reaching out to each other and to seek and to give advice and counsel and encouragement and strength in times of trials. This special love is shared by taking time to listen to each other, to discuss temptations that we face, to read God's Word together, to weep together over failures and tragedies, and to rejoice together over successes and victories, and to pray for each other. That's what love of Christians does for each other, brethren. If we give up and we give in, we abandon and we isolate ourselves from all of those who truly love us and who need our love. That is too high a price to pay for the folly of sin. And finally, brethren, it matters that we don't give up because of our fellowship with God. It matters that we find strength and encouragement, meaning and satisfaction and comfort and peace and purpose in life only in God. Our fellowship with God is the whole meaning and purpose of life, brethren. That is the whole meaning of the purpose of life. It matters because we must keep our focus on God. And when we lose our focus on God and our relationship and fellowship with God, we sink into a sea of discouragement, deception, sin, disobedience, rebellion, and evil. Remember what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13? He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I invite you now to turn over to 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 through 7. 1 John 1. John said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Brethren, it matters. It matters very much what decisions we make and what steps we take in life. If we have been drifting away from God, it matters very much that we confess our sins to God, ask the brethren to pray for us, and seek God's forgiveness. Our brethren will rejoice with us then. The angels will rejoice with us, and God will rejoice with us. If we have been drifting away from our focus on God and our fellowship with God, now is the time to change that, brethren. Right now is the time to change that. And we must not let Satan deceive us and destroy us. God can save us and help us to go forward in His service. Each battle that we face and win with God's help makes us stronger. The fact that God has a plan to help us demonstrates that He believes in our capacity to grow stronger in Christ with His help. One last passage, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let us say with Paul in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said he had not yet reached that goal, but he said, forget the past. Look to the future. Look to the future. Yes, it matters. It matters in every way what we do. We must not give up, or we must not surrender our souls to Satan. We must press forward in serving God every day, every step of the way, until we receive the crown of everlasting life. So never, never, never give up. Never, never give in. Never, brethren, never. My Christian friend, if you lose your faith before you die, think about it. If you lose your faith before you die, you will have experienced the greatest loss of all humanity. It is one thing to never have known the way of God and to face judgment, but it is even a greater calamity to have known the truth and surrendered to it and then abandon it at last. Not only will you face a stricter judgment, you will have wasted a lifetime of sacrifice and good judgment. Every kind deed, every forgiving word, every sacrifice for peace, every denial of immorality, every service attended, every moment you defended God's word will have all been in vain if you lose your faith as a Christian. It will all be for nothing. All be for nothing. So, oh, brethren, please think about it. Please, I beg you and I pray for you. Like God, like Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife who went through the trouble of fleeing Sodom, only to meet the same judgment as the heathens did because she looked back? So are Christians who do not love and trust the Lord till the very end. The crown of life is not given to those who enter the race, but to those who finish it. James said, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. That's James chapter 1 and verse 12. So brethren and friends, anything less than that is a wasted life. A wasted life. I pray that this lesson will make us stronger Christians, and if necessary, rededicate our life to God with joy and thanksgiving. So if you're an erring Christian, come and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll become a faithful member in good standing. If there's any here who are not Christians, I pray that this lesson may encourage you to become a Christian before you leave this building. So I beg you, won't you please come forward, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's anything we can do, anything we can help you in any way, please do it right now, this night, before you leave this building. Come now, if you will, as we stand and as we sing.